piece of tin. You know, tin. And it was in the front, leaning against one of the poles. And I thought, I know that's not off of our building. We don't have that. But, you know, you just never know. You know, you kind of drove up and it was next door or whatever down. And we looked at all the inside and it was no electricity Saturday, but looked at everything and everything was great. And so I know I text all the men and stuff on, I think, Friday or Saturday, one of the days, you know, to pray for the church because it was bad in Gaydon, that what was coming and what was here. And so God protected. And I just thank him for his protection upon this place, that he can put his angels around about. Let me tell you, whose report shall we shall believe? We shall believe the what?
The report of the Lord.
Okay. Whose report shall we believe?
The Lord.
Amen. We shall believe the report of the Lord. Always. The report of the Lord is in this book right here.
Yes. Amen.
Who shall we believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Who shall we believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Who shall we believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. No matter what the world says, we believe the report of the Lord and what he says. Because we know what the word says is truth and powerful and is alive and will do mighty exploits for the kingdom of God. Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before him. Say, this is life. This is life.
This is life.
This is life. You know, you have one of those brain freezes sometimes. You know what I need for them to do is put it up there for me. You know, I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name. I'm going to have to invest in Prevision. Oh, it is. Oh! Thank you. Y'all are some good guys up there. I tell you what. I'm only 55, so I have a few years to go. Somebody said, wait and see. Okay. Praise the Lord. You know, God is a good God, people. And there's no other one like him. No other one like him. I know when you got your bulletin this morning, you had another paper on the inside of it. Can you bring up Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, please? In this, in your, is a, oh no, this is the wrong one. This is the old copy. The prayer covering for the pastors. Prayer covering for the pastors. This is what I want to challenge you as a church. In the month of October is one of the worst years for pastors. It is. And because of all the things that are happening on the evil side of this, of the world, more pastors, and I've told you this before, retire or quit ministry in October than any other month out of the year. I'm not talking about retirement either. Retirement means, you know, you're just retiring from what you're doing. Now, you might go into other parts of ministry. But I'm talking about ministers that will walk down from that pulpit one Sunday and walk down that aisle and out that door and say, this is it. October is the month. Is the highest in all religions, all Christian, if you want to put it that way, religions from the Methodist to the Presbyterian to the non-denominational to Assembly of God to Baptist to Pentecostal, Foursquare, I mean all kinds, every kind you can mention. Catholics too, if you want to put it in that category, that's up to you know whatever. But I'm just talking about ministers, priests, if you want to say it that way, will quit in October. And because of the evil of the world, of this world with Halloween and all that stuff that they draw up, it is a contentious month where they come and they try to destroy the man or woman of God. And so someone came up to me and was talking about how they had found this in their Bible, whatever. And I said, oh, that would be good. I want to challenge you to pray this for Jelaine and I every day. Amen. And I'm not just talking like, you know, this is something we need as your pastors. We need you to pray for us. And you might say, well, you know, how do you want us to pray? Look at, it's all scriptures. But you put our names, and honestly, after you finish praying for us, you can pray for yourself too. You can pray for your family. Scriptures. And how do we say that the Word of God is alive and well and moving? As you quote the Scriptures of God and you claim it for yourself, you see the power of the presence of the Almighty God moving in situations that you never thought were possible. Mm. You know, Moses couldn't deliver the children of Israel by himself. He needed the power of God. And he needed a few other helpers too. We need your prayers to get the job done, people. We need your prayers that God would give us the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding to go in a direction that we need to go in. That the, it doesn't matter what the world says, but to follow what the Spirit of God says. We need you to pray and asking God to move on our behalf, knocking on the throne room of heaven for us, saying, God, move, 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 move. We need you. As it says, Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus on behalf of our pastors, Joseph and Jelaine Boutin, as well as their family. Father, they have said yes to the call upon their lives to begin a work in Gaydon, a work called Gaydon International Church. We need the power of God. Because let me tell you, the devil hates the church of the living God. Because you see, it's the church, the body of Christ, that goes out and brings in the lost and tells them about Christ and saying, God can help you. Jesus has paid the price. You see, the devil hates the church. He hates you and I because of the word of God that comes out of our mouths to this lost and dying world. So I'm asking you to be a part of praying. You know, in scripture it talks about giving of your tithe. Tithe is what? What is it? 10%. God says to give it. Don't hold back. I'm going to tell you this. If you give 10% of your time to pray for us, God will move upon your life like you've never seen before. He will move upon your family because you've given what is first unto Him and to the leaders that God has placed over you. And God will move. I'm telling you, give them 10% every day to pray these prayers. And not prayers, scriptures, really. Because prayers, anybody can kind of make that up. And it's kind of, but when you pray in the scripture, that's God that has come up with it. And God, when you pray the scriptures, you move God. You move the Holy Spirit. You move Jesus. And the Holy Spirit moves upon those prayers like we've never seen before. How many of you have been back against the wall and you didn't know what to do and the Spirit of God put a scripture in your heart and in your spirit and you started praying that scripture? What happened? The power of God came upon that situation and changed it. Changed you and changed the situation. Amen. We need the power of Almighty God. Amen. We need God. Let me tell you, we have a town, we have a parish that is on the road to hell, people. We need to do something that will change it. Keep preaching the gospel, doing whatever the Spirit of God tells us to do, to change the direction. You know, you read the scriptures about Noah and how many of his family, you know, him and his wife and his boys and their wives, the only ones that got in that boat. I don't want that to happen. It's not going to happen because we're going to see more than that come when that trumpet sounds. When that trumpet sounds, that we're going to see the body of Christ rise up like we've never seen before. Amen. Amen. So if you would take this and use it to pray for us because we need it. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper. It pierces to the soul and spirit, to the joint and marrows, discerning of the thoughts. And that's how powerful the word of God is. Let's take that. If you don't mind, I would appreciate it desperately. I want you to turn, if you would, to Exodus chapter 17, verse 7. Exodus 17. We need to keep praying for the election that's coming up. I've never seen such evil. I mean, it's bad. Y'all know it. If you have not decided who to vote for, come talk to me. I mean, you know, because, you know, sometimes, you know, people don't know. I mean, if you don't have the right information. We have one that's for abortion. His name starts, well, his last name starts with a B. And we have the current president that is against abortion. That throws in the towel right there. Boom. What you for, abortion or not? You might say, wait, you know, abortion might be good for certain circumstances. Abortion's never good. Even when the situations are horrible, it's still not good because of what it does to that woman, no matter what. No matter what. So November 3rd, our early voting is starting now, so you can go to the courthouse and do it. Go vote. Go vote. Go vote. Go vote. We have no right to complain about anything if we do not vote. Look at those amendments. Look and see what's good or not. Look at all the judges and all that, you know. And look, but President, you need to vote what's right and get that man another 4 years to do the work that needs to be done. The power of God. In anything else I need to say about that? Well said. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, I appreciate it. And it's not that not that I have anything against the other party. I was a Democrat for almost all my life. But I can't go in the direction they're going. I can't. Not with a good conscience. No way. But look at Exodus chapter 17, verse 7. It says, "And he called the name of the place Masseah and Meribah because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, 'Is the Lord among us or not?'" This is right before Moses is about to go up to the mountain. Remember the mountain he was about to go up because they were going into battle. And Aaron and Ur got on either side of him. They were just going to help him get up because Moses was, getting old in age. And so he needed help to get up there. But this scripture says, look at saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Can you imagine? The children of Israel, after Moses instructed by the Lord to strike the rock and water flowed through and gave them water, fresh water, how God would send every morning, except on the Sabbath, the bread that would not touch the ground, and they would gather it up to make the bread and all that they needed for that day. How God had brought the manna and the birds and the meat that they needed to eat. How God opened the Red Sea. And they have the nerve saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Let's get down to 2020. How many people have I talked to as a pastor? You know, these people once knew God, once loved God, but because of certain circumstances where they felt God let them down, that they're saying, well, I don't know if there's really a God. I don't know if God really answers prayer. You see? Doubting who God is. The children of Israel, after all they went through, how God delivered them from the mightiest army in upon the earth at that time, has the nerve to saying, is the Lord among us or not? We don't know. Had they not seen with their eyes what they have seen, I have never seen before. A mighty Red Sea open up. I've never seen bread 2 or 3 inches off the ground. I never seen a swarm of birds come in so vast that fed everybody, the millions and millions of people there. I never saw a rock as somebody hit it, water come forth out of it. I've never seen that. But we've seen the salvation of our God like no other human beings have ever seen before. So how could they say, is the Lord among us or not? The doubt that came in. Don't let doubt come in about your God. You have people today that are mad at God. I'm telling you. Just from this hurricane. Because something happened to their house. Something happened to their cars. Something happened to their whatever they owned. And for whatever reason, it may have been destroyed. But they're mad at God saying, how could you let that happen? And yes, we don't know all the reasons why. We don't know. But they're mad at God and they're saying, how could you let that happen? Is he among us or not? See, we need to protect our hearts. Don't ever let the enemy put doubt in your heart about what God can do or cannot do. Don't ever let the enemy put doubt in how God can fulfill the prayers that you've been praying about. Don't ever let the enemy put doubt in your heart or in your mind about how God wants to move and wants to change and wants to do things. People are probably praying for healing and nothing has happened. Don't doubt God, even though it has not happened. You just keep on praying. It says that he took the stripes upon his back for the healing of his people. Who do we doubt? Do we doubt the world or do we doubt God? You see, we can look at the children of Israel and we can say, how could they? But let's look at our own selves and say, how could we? Just let a few people go without electricity for a little while, huh? Everybody's about to beat up everybody. That's just comical, but it's true. It is. It's hard going without electricity, huh? It is. It is. Because you were so used to it. I mean, you know, we can't even have church without electricity. You know, back then they didn't have it. And they had church no matter what. Lord, put a tenacity in us like we've never seen before, Lord. Put something inside of us that says, no matter what, I'll serve God no matter what. Is God among us or not? I mean, you want to just go into their eyes, you know, and like, are you blind? You know, like the Three Stooges, you know. But look what God did. God had to show them again and again and again. Look at this. Let's read what God did. Look in Exodus chapter 17. Let's start with verse 8. And it says, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out fight with Amalek tomorrow. And I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. He had the rod of God. We have the word of God in our hands to fight against the enemy. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Ur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hands that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon. And Aaron and Ur stayed up his hands, the one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in the book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalekites from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war against Amalek from generation to generation. And here we see where God moved. The verse right before said, is he here? Will he do? And God had to come again and show them again. If God does not one more thing for us, he's worthy to be praised, glorified, and honored. If electricity goes off today and it doesn't come on for another year, heaven help us. What would we do? Oh, Lord. What would we do? Would we still praise the Lord? Would we still say, Lord, you're King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Lord, are you my God, my Lord, my Savior, no matter what, because of what God can and would do and will do. Here we see Moses saying, okay, Joshua, go and fight the battle. And Joshua went and fought the battle. And we know the story. Aaron and Ur went up with him. And they noticed something. That's just like God. You ever been somewhere and all of a sudden a scripture falls in your spirit? A scripture you hadn't thought of, you hadn't said, you haven't read in years. But because you planted it deep within your heart, God was able to bring it up. And it was the scripture you needed for the situation you were in. That's the kind of God you serve. And all of a sudden, they saw as the war was going on. It's an amazing thing. He said, tomorrow we go to war. They knew the exact time and day they were going to war. And they went to war and fighting. And Moses noticed something. When his hands were lifted up, there was victory. When his hands got heavy and tired, because he was an elderly man, even elderly or not, it's hard to keep your hands up. The other side would win. You know, that's every situation we go through. When we lift up Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, over every situation, over every problem, we will win the battle no matter what. Amen. God has ordained his children to always win. Yes. Always. Always. Yes. To win. No matter what we go through, as we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, God has ordained at the cross of Calvary that you are a winner and you will win at every cause if you keep your faith in Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross. No matter what. Can you imagine going into battle, going into something that you're fighting for, that as you walk into your prayer closet, you are a winner? Because of what Christ has done, not because of who we are. Every time I walk into a situation, I know I have won already. I have won. Now, that doesn't mean I may not be crawling on the floor trying to get the job done, but I know it will be done and I will win. Because of what Christ has done. As we worship and we praise him and we honor him, God will come through all the time. He's an on-time God all the time. He comes through for his people because we are his children. We have been blessed by God, anointed by God, brought in engrafted into the vine of our God and our Savior and our Lord. And he looks at us no different than he looks at the Jewish people. We are his children. Blessed by God. Let me tell you something, people. And I know this is just an earthly action of what people see. So, but let me tell you this. But you can do it spiritually too. Whatever you go through, praise him. Praise him. That doesn't mean you always can keep your hands up. I know that. It's, you know, I'm not, but praise him from the heart. He's looking at the heart. Praise him. Whenever you're going through a sickness or a disease, praise him. Saying, Father, I praise you. I'll praise you as long as you give me life upon the earth, Lord. And when I'm 6 feet under, I'll praise you some more. No matter what. Whatever difficulties that we go through, we keep our attitude towards our God as we will praise him and we will honor him and we will love him. Keeping our hands lifted up in praise and worship to our God. Because you see, he's the victor and he gives the victory unto us. He fights our battles for us.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes, glory.
He fights those battles for us. You know those things that are that entangle you and I sometimes? Say yes.
Yes.
The mind, sometimes even in the heart. God has won victory over those things already. As we put our faith in Christ and what he did, he raises up our hands and saying, victory, Joe, victory. And Lord, we look to him for the victory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But it took all three of those guys to bring victory to the Israelites or the Amalekites. It took Moses as he sat upon the rock of God. Ooh. It took Aaron and Ur to raise their hands. His hands. Because if he wanted to, he could have did this and said, hey, you know the one on the left way up there? I don't like him that much. Beat him up a little bit. No, Moses didn't do that. He kept his hands up and he said, guys, I'm getting tired. And he said, Moses, we'll help you. As leaders, you get tired sometimes.
Yes.
And that's okay. And you need some Aaron and Urs just to come on the sides and say, let me take your arms. See, that's that prayer that y'all praying for us. Starting today, hopefully. Turn off the football for a little bit. Not. I haven't watched any of it. It's an amazing thing how they can, from the little snips that I've seen, you know, just like in news, you know, they play in the news and they say this team won, how they can make you think that there's 100,000 people there with the cheering and all that going on and there's nobody. It's an amazing thing what can happen. But we need your prayers. We need you. We need you to go before us daily on a daily basis. I'm you know, to call out our names, Jelaine and I, that God would help us to be the pastors that God wants us to be. That we would tread the ground. That we would till that ground and get the job done. Get the job done. You know, I want you to turn to Job. And I'm going to be closing in a minute. You know, Job was an awesome guy. Job chapter 1 verse 8. Job chapter 1 verse 8. Page 832. Job is the oldest book in the Bible. That was the first book written. I know you're probably thinking, well, wasn't it Genesis? No. Job is the oldest book of the Bible. Interesting. Look at verse 8. It says, and the Lord said unto Satan, have you considered my servant Job? That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one who fears God and hates or eschews evil. Now look at chapter 2, verse 3. And the Lord said unto Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one who fears God and hates evil, and still he holds fast his integrity? Excuse me. Although you move me against him to destroy him without cause. Here we have Christ, who is bragging over his servant Job. How would he one day brag over us? Just because something comes against you doesn't mean you've done something wrong. We see that from Job. But the devil will tell you, oh, you messed up here, you did this, you did that, da, da, da. And that you may, I don't know. But just because things come against you doesn't mean you've done anything wrong. Actually, you may have done something right. Job was a man that pleased God. He had children that maybe didn't serve God to the best of their ability. But Job would go and make sacrifices for them. And here we see Satan was looking upon the earth. And God says, hey, buddy, come see. Come here, boy. Talking about Satan. He's nothing to God. And he can only go to God when God tells him he can. And he says, have you considered my servant Job? He's an upright man. He loves me with all his heart. He has sold out his soul to me. Bragging. And Satan looks at that God and says, if you let me do what I want to do, he won't last. Now you know God knew. See, let me tell you this. The devil does not know the future. Okay? He cannot tell you what's going to happen next year. So you can't call all these psychics and find out, because it's not godly. He doesn't know the future. God knows the past, the present, the future, and the future.
Yes,
he knows it all. So he knew when he was telling Satan, tempt him. He's in your hands, but you cannot kill him. You cannot kill him. God knew that this man would stand up. That doesn't mean he didn't question some things. Because Job was a very rich man. Had a lot. I mean, he was, they say, one of the richest men at that time, if not the richest. You know, who's the richest man in the world today? Who?
Jeff Bezos.
Jeff Bezos. Who's that?
Amazon.
Oh, Amazon. Oh, my God. Y'all better quit ordering from Amazon.
Yeah.
No. Hey, you know what? Last week, man, we were at the post office, and I said, man, where's all the packages? There was hardly any. And the guy walks in from that delivers the Amazon to us. He said, the electricity's out. Nobody's ordering. Now, I tell you what, the electricity's on because they ordered last week. And wait for the holidays, man. He said, electricity's out. Nobody's ordering. Oh, okay. That makes sense. That makes sense. That's funny. But here we see God says, don't take his life. God was raising up Job's hands in victory.
Yes, thank you.
We need one another.
Yes,
we need people. If you ever see a pastor that's a loner, get away from him. Something's wrong. Or a person that's a loner, get away because something's wrong. You need one another. You need that help. You need, you know, it says in Scripture, I'm not sure exactly how it says it, but I know I have the memory of it. Woe to the man that falls and has no one to pick him up. And that's talking about anybody, man, woman. Woe to the man, that has to be in Psalms or Proverbs, that falls and has no one to pick him up. You see? You might say, well, you know, Pastor, I've gotten close to people and they hurt me. That happens. God says, love one another. It's going to happen. We've been hurt so many times because I tell people, I think we love too much. We care too much. And you get hurt. But that keeps you, you have to do that because that's what Jesus did. You love people. And you draw them in to what God wants to do. But here we see Job. Lost everything. His children. He has boils all over his body. They said it smelled a stench. He would scrape it because it itched so much. And his wife telling him, just curse God. The three amigos, not friends, well, semi-ex-friends, you know, didn't get too much good advice from. They thought he had done something wrong, and he didn't. What I'm saying is this, people. Keep your faith in Christ. Love God with all your heart. Pray for one another. Pray for us as pastors. We need your prayers. Things are rising up in the evil world that are horrible. But I tell you what, as I was talking to somebody yesterday, you know, I understand that, okay. But I said, also remember what God says, that he will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. So it seems like we concentrate on the evil. Oh yeah, evil will rise up. Yes. Because the evil is rising up because God is pouring out his Spirit. So let's concentrate on this. Let's concentrate on God pouring out his Spirit upon all flesh that want it. That's what we concentrate on. And let the chips fall where they may as we do what God says to do in proclaiming the word of God to this lost and dying generation. Let's lift up one another. People, I thank you for even you wanting and desiring to do this for us. I know as the Spirit of God spoke to me that he will bless you beyond measure for putting his leaders first in your life. To pray for them. And God will bless you beyond measure to do what he needs to do in your heart and in your life. Let me tell you, you're going to see miracles happen. The power of Almighty God. As we see things crumble to the ground that's evil. And letting God rise up and do what needs to be done upon this generation. Let me tell you, if it wasn't for Moses and Aaron and Ur, the Jewish people or Israelites would have died in that war and would have been destroyed. But because of what they listened to the Spirit of God, they were victorious. It took Joshua fighting and all his men. It took Aaron. It took Ur. It took Moses. Is anyone more important than any other? No. They all played their part and they all brought in victory. Everybody does their part and the church never lacks. Everybody gives what God says, the church will never lack in anything or lack in anything. That's the power of Almighty God. Thank you. I appreciate you. You know, I pray that God's blessings and anointing and power would be upon your heart and upon your life. I have another 30 minutes. It's only 11 o'clock, yo. Y'all know that? You're saying, Pastor, cut it. It's enough. No. Amen. You may rise. You may stand to your feet, please. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. As every head is bowed for just a few minutes, please. As we have people watching, and I want to make sure we give a chance to everyone to receive Christ. If you have never received Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you'd like to do so, would you please raise your hand so we can pray with you? Amen. Praise God. Looks like everybody here is good. Amen. Let's pray this prayer of salvation together, because we have probably people watching. Say, Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I accept you as my Lord, my God, and my Savior. I believe that you died on the cross and you rose again from the dead, and you're seated at the right hand of the Father. I accept your Son Jesus as my God. Help him to lead me and guide me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may look this way. Look, Jelaine and I, we love you guys. We appreciate you and we thank God for you. And I'm so glad that everything went okay at your homes.